This is an iHeart podcast.
Whatever team Fia is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday. And Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. I really like this shirt I'm wearing. I found it last night. I know it doesn't do you any good because it's radio and you can't actually see me doing it. Unless, of course, you're watching me on the simulcast. Anyway, I have this shirt. And I'm kind of skinny. I'm 6'8", like 230. But this shirt makes me feel like my arms are big. Chris, don't you feel like my biceps are bulging? And what, Chris? Don't you feel like... Anyway, I feel like that. We have a lot on tap for this hour. So let's dig in. Questions about Mike Johnson, about the revolution, about the tranny stuff. Is it a big money-making thing? We'll talk about that and so much more, including history. But let's start here. Jesse, I remember black and white footage of Russian commoners rising up with their pitchforks, united against their corrupt government. Does there come a point where voters here realize we're getting played against each other, where we unite against the DC ruling elite, force them to do what they say they will do? His name is Russ. Okay. Well, we should understand something about revolutions. Almost all of them. In fact, it pretty much is all of them. We like to think about revolutions that we like, whatever those revolutions may be. We like to think about the people who are rising up. We like to think of them as believers in a better cause, right? That's how we want to think about it. They've had enough of the corruption in the government, and they're rising up to rid this country of the criminals who have crushed it. That's how, look, I'm an American. Revolution is in my DNA because I'm an American. That's how I like to look at our founders, our people who fought the revolution. They had had enough of taxation without representation, and they decided they were going to fight back against a corrupt government so they could be free. And surely everyone who was out there, they all think that way, right? But if you read into them, read about them at all, you'll find revolutions don't have that many true believers. Revolutions have angry people. Oftentimes, white hot anger, and oftentimes anger pointed in a bunch of different directions. Why did we fight the American Revolution? Is it because every single American citizen, they decided that man should be free? They'd all read Adam Smith, and they knew about free markets, and they decided that this country needed a constitution with a Second Amendment. No, that was a tiny, tiny percentage of the people who fought the revolution. But the people who fought the revolution were angry, and understandably so. they were angry at several of the many different conditions at the time in the country that were going poorly. Those commoners in Russia grabbing their pitchforks, rising up against the czars, were they all dirtball commies like Lenin and Trotsky, Stalin? No, no. What they were was angry. Angry about what? Let's make that about us today. Jesse, is it time to have a revolution? No. One, you need to stay legal. You need to stay local. And two, you need to make sure you don't get out ahead of any revolution that may come. You are hyper-informed. You are so many years ahead of even normal Americans, smart Americans, Americans who read and watch the news. You are years ahead of them in understanding how evil the government is, what they're doing to us. You know things that other people don't know. Your anger is years ahead of Norm and Norma. And many of them, most of them, the vast majority, will never get to where you are as far as knowledge of what's going on in the country, who's doing it to us, what are the consequences. Most people, 90% plus of Americans, will never get to where you are right now. You can say that's disheartening, but really you should just feel proud of yourself for being one of those people. And this is not an age-dependent thing. You're one of the six-year-olds who listens to the show. You are light years ahead of most adults in this country in understanding the issues that are at stake and what's going on. So let's talk about the revolution. Will there ever be one? I hope not, because they're horrible things. Almost always, they're horrible things. And almost always, you end up with a worse government after the revolution than you had beforehand. Our country is the exception to that rule. Most of the time, it's worse after you're done. Look at the commies. They got rid of the czar. Woohoo! Wait, who's in charge now? Lenin? Oh, that's not good. That's how it goes. Revolutions are full of angry people, not true believers. We don't have enough angry people in the country, and we will not have enough angry people in the country until the things people need and use every day are taken away from them. You cannot have the white hot anger it would take to have a revolution in this country while everyone still has internet, while everyone still has food delivery. Right now, the Americans, most Americans listening to the sound of my voice, they have heat and air conditioning wherever they're sitting. You probably are sitting in a temperature-controlled environment unless you're out mowing the lawn right now. They have running water. When you go down to the grocery store, the shelves are full. You may not be able to afford anything right now, but the shelves are full, are they not? If you wanted, if you have the financial means, if you wanted to pick up your telephone and get on your app and get a cheeseburger from McDonald's and some nachos from Taco Bell and a bottle of vodka from the local liquor store, you could go beep, 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 beep on your phone and have all that stuff delivered to you right now. And while you're waiting for the food to be delivered to you at your front door, you can pull up an app or your TV or whatever and watch endless movies and shows on demand. What I'm saying is we have way too much stuff right now to create the anger that would be necessary to fight the revolution. We are way too comfortable right now. Now, that said, look, the bubble's going to pop at some point in time. Supply chains are fragile and getting more and more fragile. The people who run the finances, we talk about this, people who are in charge of the dollar and the Fed and all these people, they're wrecking us and they're wrecking us fast. So they're creating situations where we might feel that white hot anger one day. But you're never going to see, you're never going to have masses of Americans stand up against the government because the government's evil. I hate to keep coming back to this, but I'm Kelly and I'm Irish and I don't let things go. Do I need to remind everybody listening? Do I need to remind you about COVID? American citizens allowed the government to tell them to close their schools and their businesses. You understand, on top of everything else, your governor does not have the authority to tell a restaurant how many people are allowed in it. I remember it here in Texas, in Red Texas. I remember when Greg Abbott acted like he was being a benevolent dictator because he, quote, allowed businesses to get up to 75% capacity. He doesn't have the authority to tell you how many people to put in your daggone restaurant. We allowed these people. They took down the outdoor basketball hoops. We allowed the government, the CDC, the FDA, we allowed them to poison us by the million, and the people who didn't want to take that poisonous shot, the president of the United States of America stood up in front of the country and announced all those people should be fired. Joe Biden not only put out a statement blaming me, the unvaccinated, for a pandemic, he tried to have me fired. And there was no revolution. There wasn't even really much of a protest. Why? Because Netflix still worked and DoorDash was still running. And they were smart enough to leave the liquor stores and the weed shops open. Hey, let people get groceries. Let them get some whiskey in them. We'll keep them calm out there. Just keep the Wi-Fi rolling, guys. We'll abuse them without end. I'm not saying that to dog on you because this doesn't apply to you. But the average American is now so demoralized. He has lost so much touch with who he is, with who he's supposed to be, a free American in a country where government doesn't have the authority to tell you this or tell you that. He has lost so much touch with that that you're sitting around as the hyper-informed and you're looking at all the corruption, the breadth and width of the corruption in this country, and you're saying, my goodness, I'm so angry. Surely everyone is just as angry as me. It's pitchfork time! But it is not. And it won't be until pain is felt by the masses. Real deprivation. Pain. Take away the internet, then you'll see protests. Then you'll see rebellion. Take away food delivery, then you'll see these things. All right. Let's talk about Mike Johnson. Let's talk a little bit about history as well. The military, what's the state of it? Let's talk about Rough Greens and your dog and why your dog needs it. Your dog needs Rough Greens because you give your dog dog food. And I'm not mad at you. I have given my dog dog food my whole life. I still give my dog dog food. But I am recently aware that there's no nutrition in it. I always thought I was giving my dog the best food I could give him. But I guess it should have sparked something in my infantile brain that all the dog food is brown. Why is it all the same color? That doesn't make sense. Because it's all dead. They kill everything in dog food at the factory so it will last longer at the shelf. American dogs die years before they should because they never get nutrition. We're always at the vet, the dog's keeling over at 8, and we're looking around wondering why, how this happened. Well, if you eat a fast food double cheeseburger every meal your entire life, you're not going to live very long either. Pour Rough Greens on your dog's food. All natural nutritional supplement, giving them everything they need, and vitamins and minerals and probiotics and whatever. 833-33-MY-DOG. Or go to roughgreens.com/Jesse.
Jesse Kelly returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. Don't forget, we are live. You can email us, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Having a great time, as we always do. Dear Dr. Jesse, I've gotten more and more interested in history since I discovered your show. I love Medal of Honor Mondays. You can add me to the group that would love to hear them more often. My question is, I tried to find the most recent, and it was a very old gentleman from the Vietnam War. Do you think the heroes will eventually fade away as our military goes DEI? Thanks to all who served. Her name is Wendy. Will the heroes fade away? Well, no. Heroes have always been with us, and they're all around us right now. Why are, you know, let's talk about this, actually. We talk about Medal of Honor Monday every Monday. We'll do it again on Monday. Start of the second hour. Everyone knows we read a Medal of Honor citation. Sometimes I talk about some history around it, but we're honoring a hero and talking about his deeds and he's charging machine gun nests and he's jumping on grenades and he's saving his buddies. But those guys, those heroes we talk about, would they have been heroic if the Japanese never bombed Pearl Harbor? Would they? If America never got involved in Vietnam, does that Vietnam legend become a legend? Or does he work construction, finds himself a dime, marries her, lives a quiet life? Heroes, they have opportunities to be heroes because things go bad. Things go bad. When things are bad, things are ugly, that's when heroes step up. There are so many heroes out there right now. And remember, it's going to sound like I'm being Tony Robbins here, but I really mean this. I'm a dude. So when I talk about heroes, it's, you know, it's some cop kicking in a door to save some kid from a monster. When I talk about heroes, it's some freaking Marine charging up a hill, throwing himself on a bunker so his friends can live. But there are many, 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 many different types of heroes. There are people out there right now who are going to volunteer somewhere this weekend. You know, I'm not going to volunteer anywhere this weekend. And it's something that it's been on my heart lately. I feel like I need to do something more than I'm doing. But there are people this weekend. Well, I'm going to watch the fight tomorrow night. It's a big fight. I'm probably going to cook out some wings with my buddy. I'm going to go to church on Sunday, but I'm going to enjoy my family time. But there are people who are going to spend their time this weekend helping special needs kids. That's awesome, man. That's really awesome. People are going to show up at an old folks' home this weekend and keep some little old lady company. She's all alone now. Her kids never visit. She lost her husband. She's facing the last 10 years of her life alone. And there are people who are going to volunteer their time to go sit and talk with her. We all have opportunities to do heroic things, and there are heroic things outside of jumping on a grenade. Selfless things where you put yourself out there in ways you don't have to put yourself out there. I was actually in Houston last night. I had to go up into Houston. I never go into Houston. It's dangerous and it's dirty, and I just prefer never to go into any blue city, as you know. I had to go up there for a business thing last night after the show. And I'm driving through town, and there was a big homeless shelter there. And there were people lined up around the block. And what it was a soup kitchen. It was a place where they can go and get a meal. And it was volunteers in there working on a Thursday night. I think it was like 9:30 or something like that. 9 o'clock, 9:30 on a Thursday night. I'm sure these people wanted to be home, asleep in their beds, watching TV, eating a burger. But they're in a smelly homeless kitchen dealing with people, most of whom have mental health problems, drug, alcohol problems, potentially violent. On a Thursday night at 9 o'clock, there are people who got up off the couch and went and fed the homeless. That's heroic. That's good. As far as the military goes, yes, there's no question the military is rotting out from underneath us with all this diversity crap, because the good guys are getting out, and then the studs who would join, they're going to do something else. They're going to go be firefighters. They're going to be cops. They're going to serve in other ways that dudes serve. So yes, it's bad. But remember, the frontline guys right now, the Army Rangers, as much as it pains me to compliment those turds, Marines, the real guy. No, I'm kidding. Rangers, Marines, the frontline guys, they're still the best. And they're just as heroic as the men who were fighting in World War II or World War I or the Civil War or Vietnam or what. The frontline guys out there right now stand in post. He's not in combat. He's guarding the armory at his base in Hawaii. He's all alone. He's listening to my podcast when he should be on guard. But anyway, that stud right there, you don't know it because he hasn't had the opportunity to do so, but that's the guy who jumps on a grenade to save his buddy. Heroes are still all around us. They're everywhere. And I'm not putting down, or I'm not dismissing what's happening in the military. It's something I talk about all the time. And that's a problem. Remember, it's a problem that behind our frontline guys, everything is rotting, because the entire military is designed to support the infantry soldier. That's what the military is supposed to do. Everything is around that guy, built around feeding him, providing cover for him, letting that guy do what he does. And that's rotting, and that's a bad thing for our guys on the front. All right, whatever. Let's talk more about Mike Johnson and some other things. Hang on.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday, and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. There is so much we have to get to today. And look, it's been a lot on this show. If you missed any part of it, download the whole thing on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. If you get confused by everything, just know it's pretty simple.
This is not an attempt to ban TikTok. It's an attempt to make TikTok better. Tic-tac-toe, a winner. A winner.
Pretty simple stuff. Could you make the case that having Mike Johnson as Speaker serves the Democrat Party better than Pelosi would? Well, obviously. Remember, Democrats not only will protect him when he gets this motion to vacate next week from Marjorie Taylor Greene and Thomas Massie, they've already announced publicly that they'll protect him. Now, these are communists. Communists would never in a million years aid the other side. They don't do that. That's what Republicans do. Communists are never tempted to do that. It tells you everything you need to know. That's the most stinging indictment of Mike Johnson you can possibly have. Hakeem Jeffries, the minority leader, already came out and said, oh, if they try to bounce him, we'll protect him. We want to keep things just as they are. He's perfect for them. It would be better if he left. If every Republican retired, well, not every Republican, but it would be better if Democrats took back control of the House rather than what we have right now. And I realize Republicans controlling the House is what gives us these hearings, and those are valuable and things like that. But having Mike Johnson in charge of the House passing every Democrat bill means that we pass all their horrible things and get the blame for it. It's friggin' horrible. If Mike Johnson had any brains at all, or any pride whatsoever, he would be so ashamed at that. As soon as Democrats came out and said, no, we're going to keep him. We like Mike Johnson as Speaker. Man. Oh. Look, you know how bad it would hurt me? I love that communists hate me and hate the show. You know how bad it would hurt me if I found out they loved it? Oh, yeah. Jesse Kelly Show. Woo. Everyone should listen to that. Would I be asking myself some hard questions about what we do here? Instead, we're focusing on the real issues. Hey, Jesse, I heard you talk about how great Tennessee is, and so on and so forth, and how you might move here one day. My parents are norms. They watch Fox News all day, so on and so forth. My dad, a Vietnam vet, read your book but didn't have anything to say except it's all true, but continues to consume Fox News unless he's at my house where I force them to watch the first TV or the plays. Anyway, he says Tennessee's some really red parts, but they don't get out and vote in primaries. My question is, how can I get you on the radio in the big cities? You're on in Memphis, but not Nashville, Knoxville, or Chattanooga. The local radio talk shows are full of people who just parrot things like Mitch McConnell. So how do I get you on the radio instead of these losers? His name is Sam. Okay, let me explain something about radio. I don't know who you're talking about who you don't like or whatnot, but let me explain this about radio. This show is syndicated now. What does that mean even? What is syndication? Well, you have a local radio station, whatever your local radio station is, and that's local. If you get syndicated, what that means is a syndication company, and there are several, picked you up and they think the show is so good that they want to put it on in multiple cities. I work for Premier. They're the biggest syndicator by a mile. You know, it was who Rush was with. It's Glenn. It's Clay and Buck. It's Sean. It's the Premier's big. And obviously they recognize the talent. What, Chris? No, seriously. Okay, so I'm with Premier. Premier, because I work for Premier and they work with me, they want the show on everywhere. You know, you want the show on every single city. However, understand this is how radio works. Your local radio station, they have, well, first you have to understand it's a business. I know you get that, but this is not a charity. I don't do this for free. Premier doesn't do it for free. Now, I believe in what I do. I love what I do, but this is a business. It's a money-making profit business, and your local radio station is exactly the same. Your local radio station has a radio lineup. Maybe, and this is the case in many instances, maybe they already have a signed contract, a signed agreement with somebody who's on there that you don't like. Maybe that's part of it. Maybe part of it is, and different radio stations have different mentalities when it comes to this. Maybe part of it is they prefer to have on a local guy instead of a syndication guy. And I love that, actually. I mean, I know I'm syndicated and I'm very blessed to be syndicated, but I think there's so much great local radio. Local guys really give you a better feel, an outstanding feel for the local community. And I think there's value to having a national conversation like we do about national things, but there's also tremendous value if you got a morning guy or an evening guy who's going to come on and he's going to talk about traffic in the tunnel and can you believe what's happening in this specific school district, and there's value in that. There's so much talent, really, really great talent on local radio, and maybe your local station has an agreement with that guy. Maybe they're advertising. There are a laundry list of reasons why a show like mine might not be, it's never going to be on every station. Rush wasn't on every station. That's not possible. There are all kinds of things that keep that from happening. Now, it is growing because of the ratings and the downloads and the advertisers. Everyone's so happy with our show as it stands right now that it is growing. It's expanding new cities. We just picked up Buffalo, which is incredible. It's growing a lot. Remember this, though. The beauty of today, of technology today, is whatever you want to listen to, this show, anything, you can listen in the palm of your hand. And if your local station cuts off the show and you're mad about it, maybe you're listening locally and they cut you off that night, maybe they're playing something else, maybe they have an agreement with a local sports team. Again, that comes back to money. Radio stations need to make money. You know, I bless them to it. They have bills to pay to, families to feed. But you want to keep listening to the world famous Jesse Kelly show, and who could blame you there? Where else can you learn things like this?
You know, freedom is not free.
Just go download the iHeartRadio app. And I'm not just telling you to download the podcast. If you download the iHeartRadio app, you can listen to any affiliate you want who carries the show. So you're mad that your local affiliate dropped it that night? Just go to a different affiliate and you listen right there on the same phone, on the same app. So that cars come with that stuff now. So there. How about that? Hey, Jesse. Oh, prescient pontificator. That is me. What, Chris? Do you think it's possible the trans movement is really a make-work program for lawyers? It seems that a decade or so from now, the victims of this insanity may be suing doctors, nurses, school administrators, so on and so forth. Okay, let's talk about that. This is from Steven. There's so much horrible ugliness surrounding this tranny stuff that we can lose sight of the money-making factor. Now, first, let's understand this is a cultural Marxist movement that at its core is designed to shatter people. They want people broken. They need people broken. Remember, what is communism? What is it? The religion of the malcontent. That's what communism actually is. It has nothing to do with capitalism or the bourgeoisie or the workers or anything. It has nothing to do with any of that. It's always just been the religion of the malcontent. And the communists have understood that. And so what they try to do, it's actually very, very smart. They try to create more malcontents. You create more misery. You create more mental health issues. You create more messed up people. Well, what you're actually creating is an army for yourself. You're recruiting foot soldiers. Every new 10-year-old who decides to cut his penis off is going to vote Democrat until he commits suicide at 25. He will. Everyone knows it. And then he'll keep voting Democrat after he kills himself. Everyone knows that too. But let's discuss the other aspect of this, because there is a good old-fashioned greed aspect to it. Before we get to that, let's discuss pain and living with it. Sucks, doesn't it? When you have something that's nagging at you, it's happened to me many times. Back problems, this, knee, whatever the case may be. Sucks. We have to deal with it, though, because if you don't sleep well. You're not in a good mood. You're snapping at people. You're missing out on things. I can't go to the game. I'd love to play pickup basketball. My foot hurts. Why don't you try Relief Factor? Just try Relief Factor. I'm not telling you to get married. They sell three-week quick start kits for $19.95. Go buy one. Take it every day for 3 weeks and tell me about that nagging pain you have. It's drug-free. It helps support your body's natural response to inflammation. Go get some. 1-800-4-RELIEF or relieffactor.com. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly. Back soon.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. I can't believe how good my arms look in this shirt. Chris, what? I don't know why you're not acknowledging this. I look chiseled in this shirt. Just expect me to be wearing this every single day from now. What, Chris? I do not sound like BK. You know what? That's not nice, Chris. That's not nice. We're talking about we got a question about all this tranny madness, and is it about money? So first we were talking, obviously, it's really evil, and it's about breaking people and turning them into dirty commies for the rest of their lives until they kill themselves. It's really bad. But there is a good old-fashioned greed component to this, and it's disgusting. You see, we always have to keep something in mind. The psychiatrist you go see, he doesn't make any money if he fixes you on the first visit or if he tells you you're doing fine. And I'm not dogging on your shrink, and I'm not telling you not to go to one. You should keep in mind that profession is like 19-1 Democrat versus Republican, so you're most likely pouring out your heart and soul to a dirty commie who hates your guts. But setting that aside, you know, I used to go to chiropractors when I was a kid. I grew so fast, I was so tall, that my back was jacked up, and one of my vertebrae, instead of fusing, I grew so fast it overlapped, and I had some back problems that would just bother me all the time. And so I would go to a chiropractor every now and then. And I went to a few different ones, and it's wild how consistent every single one of them was. And I'm not dogging on chiropractors, but every single one of them told me after I was done with them cracking my back and doing all the various things, all right, we need to get you in here at least once, if not twice a week. Stop by, talk to Amy at the front desk. She'll get you scheduled for your next 20 appointments. Well, can't you just fix me so I don't have to come back? Well, he's in the for-profit business just like you are, just like I am. And the profit comes with repeat customers. So he needs you coming back. The same thing works. It works just that way in psychiatry, too. Why do you think your dentist tells you you need 10 fillings every single time? Have you ever gotten a second opinion at a dentist? Actually, Mike Cernovich was talking about this today, and he was right on point with it. My wife had one once. They told her she needed, I think it was 7 fillings. She takes meticulous care of her teeth. She's one of those freaks that flosses. What a weirdo. Anyway, 7 fillings. She was outraged, mortified. She went and saw another one, and the dentist said, what? You don't need any fillings. You don't need a single filling. There's money in it. This tranny stuff is big money because you get some kid, some teenage kid with parents in there. Hey, she's a real tomboy. We caught her playing football with the neighbor kids, and she prefers to wear overalls instead of skirts. Clearly, she's a boy. And you go sit down with the shrink. What's the shrink going to say? Where's the money in it? If you're an evil, soulless monster of a shrink, what's the where's the money at? Is the money in telling her and her parents, no, she's just a tomboy. She's totally fine. In fact, she's probably going to grow up to be really hot and a good wife like most tomboys turn out to do. So just get out of my office and don't come back. I don't need you here. Is that the best thing for his bottom line? Or is the best thing for his bottom line to say, oh, wow, yeah, I can tell little Trina is actually a dude. And in fact, you should come back next week and the week after and the week after and the week after that for the low, low cost of $200 an hour, and we'll explain exactly what's going on there and try to help you through it. And then at the back end of that process, don't think for one second these shrinks don't have partnerships and agreements with local doctors who will perform these things. At the back end of it, she gets a lovely referral to Dr. Monster. And you go down and see Dr. Monster. Hey, Dr. Monster, you know I'm a shrink and I've already diagnosed this girl. Very clearly, this girl's a dude. And so, Dr. Monster, would you please take her in and put her under and chop her breasts off and ruin her life? Would you do me a favor? And Dr. Monster's thinking about his bottom line. He's thinking about all the money that comes from his surgery and everything. And he says, oh, absolutely. Bring her in here. Let me carve her up like a Thanksgiving turkey. And in the end, the kid is destroyed, completely gutted and destroyed, mutilated beyond belief. But the doctor's rich and the shrink is rich. And the evil liberal white woman mom gets to show off her new freak to all of her friends and brag about what she did. So everyone wins, except for the poor child, of course, whose life is ruined. To answer your question, yes, there's huge money involved. And as far as lawyers go, there's always huge money involved when it comes to lawyers. Why do you think, you understand how much of our lives, how much we pay for lawyers? We pay for lawyers in everything we do. Everything around us is more expensive because everything involves lawyers on some level. It involves lawsuits and protecting yourself from this and protecting yourself from that. Go, if you want a fascinating read, a fascinating dig, if you want to do some research into something, here's something for you to dig into. Trial lawyers in the country, they're all Democrats. They all vote Democrat. Go look at the legislation they will oppose and support. Sometimes it's hard to understand until you realize they're creating huge quantities of money for themselves whenever they decide what to oppose or what to support. Like if you have something like tort reform, you've heard of tort reform when it comes to medical things, where you can't just sue some hospital for $80 million for pain and suffering. They'll put limits on things like that, limits on lawsuits, anything like that. You know who opposes that? Lawyers. They oppose it outright. Why? This is not as good for their bottom line. All right. Jesse, all these lunatics are talking about how bad America is, but they never leave. And why aren't they urging the building of the border wall so they won't fall into the evil trap of America? Why aren't they handing out pamphlets telling immigrants not to come to America because it's so bad living here? Why? Why don't they leave? Why don't they tell the illegals not to come? Well, you already know why, don't you? To the communist who resides in this country, and to the communists around the world, America is the great Satan. That's not just something you heard from Osama bin Laden. You have to get that your liberal Aunt Peggy feels like America is the height of all evil. And when they say they're fighting against it, and we need to build a revolution, and we need to build back better, or whatever words they try to describe the revolution, they're trying to tear the country down because they think that's good. They think that's good. That's why. All right, we still have an hour left. Someone wants to know about Chris and Michael, how they got hired. Someone wants to talk about food delivery. Biden winning re-election. Would it be better for the show? I don't want to talk about that. I want to talk about MyPillow. MyPillow's incredible. MyPillow from MyPillow. I know that can get confusing. Whatever. I have a sick MyPillow, and it now travels with me wherever. MyPillow, it fixed my wife's neck problems. And now they're having a $25 extravaganza sale on the best pillow they sell, their premium MyPillow with the all-new Giza fabric. You know, it doesn't get all hot on your ear. Any size, any loft level is just $25 right now. The MyPillow sandals, if you can find your size, they sell out fast, $25 right now. Two packs of multi-use pillows, $25 right now. MyPillow's the patriotic company that gives a crap about us. They've lost a fortune fighting for the things you care about. Let's say thank you. MyPillow.com. Click on the radio listener special square and use the promo code Jesse. Or call 800-845-0544.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.